So thank you for taking the time out of your day. I'm here with my colleague, John Simmons. Say hi, John.
Hi, everyone.
John is, I asked him what his title was today, and apparently he's the marketing specialist. So what I think that means is he gets everything thrown at him and he does it all. So thank you, John, for being on the tools today. And as per usual, we are recording this webinar so that you can refer back to it in the future. And also, there'll be people that haven't been able to make it so they can listen to it at their leisure. It will be put onto our Work Ready webpage in the next day or so. So look, today I thought for the last session of the year, we'd just look at some of the funds and trusts that are available to clients, blind, low vision clients, to access, to support with things to do with maybe equipment or leisure, music, other aspects of life. Obviously, things are pretty tough at the moment out there for people, and we will also just talk before we finish off today a little bit about what to think about as you are looking for jobs and some of those areas that may just be able to assist in this economic climate. So let's just talk a little bit about the various funds and trusts that are available through Blind Low Vision NZ. We have a number, and these have been gifted philanthropically through the years for people who have obviously wanted to maybe not just give a donation in their will, but actually have a lasting impact on the quality of life for our clients. The purpose of the various trusts that we have and funds available is really to help with the independence for our clients, to give them the opportunity to maybe try different things that they may not be able to afford, or also help with the cost of disability. So that could be things to do with equipment, technology, etc. First one that we're going to talk to today is actually called the Pearson Fund. So this fund was set up by Sir Pearson, Sir Arthur Pearson, many years ago. And the purpose of this is actually to help people with the cost of equipment and technology. Now, it's available to all clients, and this is so the fund has been around for a long time, and it's got two aspects. The first one that I'm going to talk about is a new aspect. So about 2 years ago, Blind Low Vision New Zealand partnered with Vision Australia and the Vision Australia Equipment Shop. So if anybody is looking at buying equipment through the Blind Low Vision collaboration with Vision Australia, and you go onto the website and there's something that you like, for any equipment that is less than $500 New Zealand, you can actually put into the special code Pearson. That's Pearson, and we'll put this information on the Work Ready page. And anything under $500 Australian, you can actually get a 50% discount by putting that access code in. So that makes a really big difference. I recently got myself a couple of things that have been really useful. It's not so much equipment for work, but just for my quality of life. So some kitchen scales, which talk to me, which is great when I'm baking. Bathroom scales, not so happy with those. I think they might be wrong and might be sending them back. But that's a really big difference. Now, for bigger items to access Pearson funding, you can still use that same access code. And anything over $500, you get a 25% discount. So that still makes a big difference. And there are all sorts of different pieces of equipment in there. It's really worth having a look and seeing what might just impact your quality of life. The other thing that Pearson Fund can be used for, and this is where the committee would meet, so you can put that, as long as you're a full member, you can put that code into the Vision Australia shop and get access to that discount at any stage. But if you are looking for a piece of equipment, say for example, it may be a laptop for argument's sake, you're going back to study and you need some help with a laptop potentially. You could look at accessing the Pearson Fund and that other avenue, and the committees will meet to see whether you can be allocated some money towards that. They do meet several times a year, and so what's really important is you ensure that any application you do is completed in its entirety. So all supporting documentation, if there's any quotations required, I think you're required to put in bank account details, anything, say, to say that you, you know, confirmation of your course. You need to make sure with any of these applications that we're talking about for funding that they are completed in their entirety. Otherwise, you risk the not being able to actually fulfil the obligations, and therefore you would miss out on that funding. It's like anything. If you don't put in a full application, chances are it's going to come back to you. So make sure you do that thoroughly. So with the second one that we've been talking about, maybe accessing it for something larger that's not in the Vision Australia shop, the expectation is that you would potentially add some of your own funding towards that, and that you would also try some other avenues first. So we talk about this being kind of really like the last resort, but it is available. And if you've ever got any queries around that, please feel free to reach out to me, or there is information on our website, and we can help you with just understanding exactly what that process is. The next fund we're going to talk about is the Oppenheim Fund. So this has been, this was started in the late 1980s, and this is specifically to assist with clients who are looking at going into tertiary study. Now, it doesn't necessarily need to be, it doesn't need to be a university. It may be technical training. It may be an apprenticeship, but it's to help with the cost of fees only. Having said that, last year we did actually pass that there is, I think it's up to $500 that may be available for books. But I think generally books are not so much the physical copies now, they're digital. So that is an additional aspect that has just recently changed. With Oppenheim, it opens on the 1st of September. So it's currently open, and applications close on the 14th of January 2026. There's quite a lot of supporting documentation you will need to furnish with your application, such as course confirmation, transcripts of your last academic. So say, for example, you're finishing year 13 and going to study next year, then you would need to put your NCA transcript. So that would be when you would apply. You may not actually have your NCA results at that point, so that would be for your mocks. If you're currently studying and already in tertiary, then it would be the academic transcript for the year prior. Now, you can access Oppenheim multiple times. So if you're doing a 3 or 4 year degree, you actually have the entitlement to access that in any year that you are not in a fees free course. Okay, so if you're fees free, you're not going to obviously be able to access it, because that would be double dipping. This year we had around about 14 applicants. We had people ranging from, you know, kind of asking for $10,000 down to kind of like $1,500. Everybody got some amount granted. I think the most was for a full year's course fee. So that was a big help to them. And it really just takes that real stress out of, you know, where am I going to find that money? We don't support with the cost of accommodation, but certainly there could be other funds available that is not through Blind Low Vision that you could potentially look at accessing for scholarships. So I'd always encourage anybody who is looking at going to tertiary and potentially leaving home or studying outside of their region to also connect with their disability support team in the first instance at that tertiary provider, and also get connected with the tertiary provider scholarship team, because there are some scholarships available, obviously depending on minority groups, ethnicity, but also there could be some for disability as well. So it's always good just to plan ahead with those types of scenarios. So anyone that is thinking of studying in 2026, if you're a school leaver or if you're actually returning to study potentially because of a decline in your vision, absolutely look at accessing the Oppenheim Fund. Do not leave it to the 13th of January to get your application in. Make sure you're doing that well in advance, and I'm always here to assist with any support that you might need in terms of that. That's available throughout all of New Zealand. The next one we're going to talk about is the Henderson Fund, and that's available primarily kind of in the, oh, my geography's not very good, so kind of like, the kind of bottom half, I guess, of the North Island. So New Plymouth, Wellington, with the Wairarapa, Whanganui, and the Manawatū. That's primarily available for people to apply for to assist with things kind of out within that region, and the funding again is dependent on what you're kind of doing. May assist with equipment and other various aspects. So we have actually on our, which we will put onto our Work Ready page, a guide to these various funds. So some of them are specific to regions, some of them are specific to types of activities. So if you're in that, if you're in the in that kind of lower North Island region and you're looking for some funding, have a look at the Henderson Fund. The Shirley Owen Fund is available for people throughout New Zealand, and it's to assist specifically with the cost of either learning an instrument or learning, say, getting singing lessons or potentially purchasing an instrument. That is available for up to $1,500 a year, and you can be a multiple recipient, again, like the Oppenheim Fund. So, for example, if you are learning an instrument or maybe having ongoing singing lessons, that fund is available for up to $1,500 a year, and you can apply for that at any stage. Forsyth Fund. So that is available for people, clients who are living in the Waikato DHB region. And it helps with the costs associated with blindness, such as equipment, and maybe some peer support or other types of things that even could help with potentially some specialised support if you're looking at doing some kind of sport or education. Applicants must live within that particular area, and if you're looking for anything funding that exceeds over $200, then applicants per year, then that's for that one. Okay, so those are the main funds. The other thing I just thought I would talk about is, we have just recently got the, so this is not a fund, but this is actually now, I think about two or three months ago, board passed that every blind low vision client has the access to a new white cane every year and two tips. So if any of you on here are potentially thinking your cane is getting a bit battered or a bit bent, or your tips are getting a bit old and they're not rolling quite as smoothly as they could, you can now access a cane every year. And I mean, that really is, for a lot of us, the tools of our trade. So all you need to do if you're wanting to access a new cane is actually ring our 0800 line, and they can actually get that. They can look up on your file, see what your cane height was, and actually put that in place. If you think you need a reassessment, that will take a little bit longer because we will need one of our O&M specialists to come and just assess you. So if you think your height has potentially changed, then you can obviously look at that as well. So really, those are the main funds we have available. And again, the purpose is really to help with the independence so that you can actually access, things and not have to worry so much about just the cost. Obviously, these aspects we've talked about today, they're not so much work related. Obviously, the Oppenheim is around getting yourself, upskilled and educated. So ultimately you will benefit from that. The other ones are more around lifestyle and independence, you're getting some new hobbies. The other thing, obviously, that some of you may be aware of is the individualised funding, which is assessed through the your local NASC provider, and that can also provide with some assistance actually within your home, but also with some respite, so that maybe you can go to the gym, you can get a support person to go to the gym, you can potentially try a sport that you haven't tried before. So Enabling Good Lives is the provider of the individualized funding. If you are interested in anything like that, that's not something that is administered through Blind Low Vision. That would have to be through either your NAS provider or even talking to your local or your family GP about such. There's obviously support funds, which we have talked about on a number of occasions, which is available to assist with the cost of transportation, equipment, or technology associated with either study or being employed or self-employed. And that is administered through the Ministry of Social Development. The application, we do actually have the link to that on our Work Ready page. And again, it's really to ensure that when you are going into either study or you're going into employment, that equipment or technology is no barrier for you to be able to perform at your optimal level and to be the best that you can at work. And it's really great to know that when you are looking at applying for jobs, that, you know, if, say, for example, an employer might say, if we're talking about, say, a job, I spoke to somebody recently who was wanting to get into social work. And so social work is a job where you need to go from one client to another. And so they were just wanting to get some advice on how would they talk about the fact that they don't have a driver's license. So, if you are able to access support funds, you can actually look at potentially employing somebody as a driver to assist you to get from A to B. Or support funds can actually assist you with the cost of accessing taxis to go to and from clients. So things like that, it's great to know that actually that short really doesn't need to be a deterrent to employment. And then there's other things like the Jubilee Trust that's actually available for people with disabilities. That is within the community. They do expect you to try other areas first, but again, that can actually help with the cost of equipment as well. So if, say, for example, you're looking at studying or you're looking at applying for a job, but all you've got at the moment is a smartphone, you don't actually have a laptop, that in itself can be a barrier to employment. So there are funds available to potentially help you with purchasing that laptop. It could be through some funding through Pearson Fund. It could be through some funding through the Jubilee Trust. It could even be through some funding through individualized funding if you have it. And also, if you're studying, it can be through MSD training and, sorry, the Training Incentive Allowance, which is different to what we talked about earlier with the MSD support funds. That's all the kind of stuff I wanted to talk to about funding today. So let's just see if anyone's got any questions, and then I'll just move on to kind of the current economic climate that we're in and just some things to think about as we take our break. It's ridiculous, and we're back online in February or March next year, but just some tips and tricks to help you as you're thinking about employment. So any questions around the
You
funds?
can start. Yes, Roman has a question.
Hi, kia ora, Sarah.
Hi, Roman. Nice to have you on the call.
Oh, thank you. Nice to hear you. I had a question about the gym funding.
Gym. Oh, going to the gym? Yeah. Okay, so do you know if you currently get any individualized funding?
No.
Yes, you
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes, you do. So if you do through your NASC, so that's your needs assessment. Then it depends on. So there's a couple of types of. I think there's three, and I'm not an expert. But there's respite, there's individualized funding. So the individualized funding can help with, you know, like domestic things, stuff around the house, and then there's also some personal care. So depending on what your needs are. But I would suggest that you go to, you check with who your provider is. So in Auckland, the main provider is Manawanui, and they will be able to advise you just as to how you do that. So people are able to potentially get somebody, maybe, you know, you might have somebody a couple of hours a week who you actually pay to assist you to get to the gym, or you can actually pay for the personal trainer, or it could be yoga. So you'd need to check, Roman, who your individualized funding is through. And then it is assessed every year. So if it's not the individualized funding that allows for that this year, maybe that's what you could look at exploring for next year.
Yeah. Who's the main organization in Wellington, sorry?
You're in Wellington. Your funding would probably come out of Wellington, I think. Actually, I'm not sure, Murray. Do you know if they're up at Blends, is it where they reside or where they actually live, or is it where they're studying?
It's in Wellington.
It is in Wellington. Okay. I can find out, Roman, and I can flick you who it might be, okay?
Thank you.
Sure. Right, are there any transition students there who are applying for the Oppenheim this year?
Sorry, I just mucked up my screen just then. Yes, there will be, but they're not in the room at the moment because they're doing another program, but they're going mm-hmm. to watch the video later.
Okay, well, look, Mari, if any of them want to talk to me, and I'd be encouraging them to be looking at those applications now because it's absolutely worth their while, just get them to give me a call or flick me an email. Or if you want me to come back out to the class in the next few weeks, then just let's jack that up as well.
Just a question on the Henderson.
So yes.
If their home address is in the bottom of the North Island.
Yep, they can access.
But they're going to be attending university in Auckland. What happens for those people?
What happens with those people? That is a really good. That is a good question. I mean, look. I can have a look at the information, and I can get back to you on that one, Mari.
Yeah, because often they might be in the halls of residence, but that's not their permanent address. So they're heading back home during holidays and at the end of their semester and things like that. So
I can look into that. And I can get back to you. Do I get back to you, or should I get back to the student directly?
You can get back to me, and I will, once I've spoken to the students, they'll be welcome to send you an email or get in touch. I think Roman has another question.
Sure.
I used the Henderson Fund in Auckland, it did work.
Okay, so because Roman is a Wellington person, that's his actual residential address, but term time he's at school up here, so because he's accessed the Henderson Fund, he's been able to use it up here.
Roman, what have you accessed that for?
Music studios.
Say again?
Music studios.
Oh, music studios.
Yeah.
So have you been getting some training?
Just recording sessions.
Okay. All right. That's great. That's great. And I've got a question for you. So is that one of the things you're interested in, looking into going into the music industry?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a tinkle a bit later because I've got a really great opportunity with that. Okay, Roman?
Thank you.
Okay, awesome. And thanks for answering that question, Roman. That's great. So basically, so it sounds like residential address is in that kind of Wairarapa, Lower North Island, and so you can access that, which is great.
Yep.
Roman, off the top of your head, do you know what the cap was for that in terms of, was there a particular amount that you were able to access?
I think it was $1,500 a year.
Yeah, okay, right, okay, great. And obviously the other thing is, again, if you're interested in that whole music thing, so learning an instrument or potentially even, I guess, because you're talking about the music industry, you might even be able to access a bit more through the Shirley Owen Fund as well, because that's $1,500 a year as well, and that's throughout the country.
Could you email that to me, please?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
I think you sent me something about the Shirley Owen. before, so I can forward that one to Roman as well.
Yeah, that would be great. That's a fund that probably has been a little underutilized, and so it would be great for the students to look at, you know, just how they can actually, you know, potentially benefit from it. I'm going to start to learn the keyboard, so I'm going to access it myself. So we might have a band going. Who knows?
I forwarded that information on to Wendy, so she's got that as well.
Awesome. Thank you, yeah. Mari. Okay, any other questions on the funding?
Not from us.
Great. Don't think there's anyone else on the call. So, and look, we will put the, what I would encourage you, have any of you in the transition class, have any of you guys, people looked at the Vision Australia website just to see the different equipment that's out there? No, that might be.
Roman replied yes, and a few others replied no.
Okay, so that might be. I know the class is pretty busy, but it might just be worth having a bit of a look at, because there's all sorts of cool stuff that you may not realise that could actually, you know, be quite impactful in air quality of life. So again, remember, anything under $500 Kiwi, you actually get it. It's only going to cost you $250 because you'll get that 50% off. As long as you remember to put the code in. I bought some stuff and I was so excited that I actually forgot to put the code in. So that was silly.
Where do you get the code from?
So the code is, we can put that in the chat, and the code is, I think it actually comes, does it come up, John, when you go in there or not? So the code is Pearson, P-E-A-R-S-O-N. And it just says a special code, and it will, and then you just literally put that in, and it will give you that. It will automatically populate the discount.
And so, anything, what's the limit for it?
So anything under $500, if you put in the Pearson code P E A R S O N, you will get 50% off that cost. So that would mean something that's $499 would cost you $249.
So does that mean that, say, something costs $700?
Yes.
You put the Pearson code in, so that would be half the $500, and then you'd pay the extra $200, or you just have to keep things below $500?
No. So if it's over $500, then you get 25% off.
Okay.
So you still put the code in, but it's just less when it's over $500.
Okay.
I've put those codes in the chat as well.
Oh, and John has put those codes in the chat. Great. Okay. So look, I just thought I'd take this opportunity to just talk a little bit about, I guess, current employment market. Look, it's very tough for everybody at the moment. Hopefully, again, sorry, just going back to the class, Murray, has everybody done at least the online assessment for the Gallup Clifton Strength Finder?
Yes, everybody has, but Janaya was sick, so she had to cancel the face-to-faces. So.
Okay, all right, so that's great. So everyone's at least got their top five strengths, which is awesome. And I'll follow up with Janaya just to see when she's going to be available. But so
she's already rescheduled. So she's coming.
Great.
Yeah, she's coming in next week.
Oh, awesome. So one of the things that's really great, and I'm not sure where you all are at, potentially creating a CV for life after transition. Have they done that yet, Mari?
Most of them had already done it through their school, so they just revise it and top it up. But there's a session that they're going to be doing with a new resource next week.
Oh, that's great, because what I was going to say and encourage is, two things with that is trying to build at least a couple of your top strengths into your personal statement, so that you don't just kind of say I'm reliable and hardworking. But so say, for example, one of your strengths might be communication. So, you know, that I'm that I'm a great communicator and love the opportunity to learn, you know, or to build relationships with people. Or another one could be that you are, say, an activator. So an activator is someone that always gets things done. So you can actually use those words in your personal statement to really make yourself pop, because you need to be standing out in the crowd. I heard recently that a job at a juice bar got 3,000 applications. So a CV really needs to pop and sell yourself. The other thing is, if you wrote it at school, I think it's probably, because with all due respect to school, sometimes this stuff is not as up-to-date as it could be. So it's also worth maybe even putting it into ChatGPT and seeing how it can just kind of update it, check it for grammar, spelling, and kind of keeping it to no more than kind of like 2 pages. Yeah. But it is really important, because the job market is so tough, that you make sure your CVs are spot on in terms of what they say about yourself, that they're spot on in terms of the grammar, the formatting, all that kind of stuff. And that's a bit tricky when you can't see so well. So making sure that people that have got useful eyes can just look at that for you.
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing with your CV. So it's some that have made a really good effort and done some really well done ones at school, but through the year they're updating and revising them. The resource that they're going to be trying next week is actually an AI one.
Great. Oh, fantastic. Well, I'll be really interested to hear how that goes. And, of course, don't forget to put on your CV that you've actually done Gallup Clifton Strength Finder Professional Development, because that's really useful for you to have there as well, okay?
Yeah, that's a good thought. Yeah. Thank you.
That's okay. So in terms of kind of like looking for a bit of part-time work, or maybe those of you who are actually looking at full-time work after transition, at the moment, the most effective way that you're going to be able to secure something is by talking to your friends and your family, your networks, your wider communities, that, hey, I'm really interested in doing this, or maybe doing a little bit of voluntary work. So really having those conversations and letting people know, Auckland, Wellington, New Zealand, we are still a village. And it's amazing how having a conversation with somebody can, you know, they might know someone that knows somebody. And what you're wanting to do now is get some work experience, if you haven't already, onto your CV. So the power of having those conversations with people and reaching out to people is really, really valuable in this environment. 80% of people still get jobs through kind of like their own connections and networks. And in this particular market, I mean, it's even kind of more important than ever. If you've got 3,000 people applying for jobs, and you've got, you know, that's an awful lot of time for somebody to go through, or people to go through in an HR team. So that would be my piece of advice. We are getting to, obviously, the end of the academic year for the Glen's students, and for the other people on the call. Really, when we kind of get into about November, jobs will dry up even more, because employers, you know, they're not generally not likely to put that time into employing somebody before a big summer break, because people need to be upskilled when they start. So really, I think it's an important time of year to maybe just reflect on what you've done this year and celebrate your wins, reassess what you want to achieve for next year and what that might look like and how you're going to get there. So, you know, I think over the next couple of months, don't be too hard on yourself. Work Ready, we're always here to support you, whether that's looking at your CV, supporting with interview skills, just helping with building that resilience muscle, because it is really tough when you're looking for work, keeping yourself positive. The other thing, I'm not sure who is on the call or what your situations are, but we do still have the Blind Low Vision internship that is, I'm not sure, it may have, do you know, John, has that closed? The application's closed? I'm looking to my faithful colleague here, but so if anyone is a recent graduate this is the third year that we're running our internship program, so we have potential opportunity for up to three people to be placed within blind low vision. And this is really good for the students to consider moving forward in the next year or so, that is an opportunity once they have finished their study. Any questions?
Hi there, Sarah. My name's Jared.
Hi, Jared. Nice to have you on the call.
Thank you. Thank you. Just following the information that you've kindly shared this morning, with the Oppenheim Fund in particular, is there any limitation on what sort of tertiary course you can take with that? So, like, if I've done a Bachelor of Business Accounting and Management degree up to level 7, so, like, if I was trying to do a master's at a level 8, is that okay?
Totally. Yeah, look, we've had people that have accessed it who have done PhDs.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So if you want to ask any more questions or anything like that, Jared, I'll get the lovely John over here to put my – sorry, that sounded condescending. He's very helpful. I'll get him to put my email address into the chat, please, just so if you want to email me directly or give me a call. So if you then we can talk about that. But, no, absolutely – so people that are doing masters or PhDs, they're the kind of students who have accessed it multiple times.
Perfect. Okay. No, that's excellent. Thank you so much.
Great. Get that application in.
One thing I would add to that is I believe priority is given to first timers, but it's still worth applying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. But if you haven't accessed it previously, then have you, Jared? You haven't accessed it previously, eh? That's okay. So if you haven't accessed it previously, it doesn't actually matter where you are in your career, then yes, that's right. You can obviously, And obviously it depends on year from year. Some years we have very few applications. Other years we have, significantly more, and we just don't know what that is going to be from year to year. That will also impact how much is allocated, obviously, to each person or the percentage.
Sure. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, sorry, I just had a call coming in. So couldn't quite get to put it back on.
But you haven't accessed it before, have you?
No.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, Masters and then PhD, then I don't know what else after that. But anyway.
the process is we can just enroll as normal with whichever provider it is. And then once we've got the confirmation document, then we just do the application after with the Oppenheim Fund.
Totally. And if you are returning to study, and if you are you a kind of recent client of ours?
I've been with Blind Low Vision since 2008.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say, look, again, and you've probably already got what you need in terms of technology and equipment and stuff like that. But again, the when you are studying, and definitely, again, encourage if you studied when you last studied, you didn't have your vision loss, definitely encourage you to meet with disability support, because, they're there to support and ensure that, outcomes are met. And particularly if you haven't studied for a wee while, it is a bit of a shock to the system going back and just seeing what it's like these days.
Oh, no, thank you so much.
Welcome. Thanks for joining. Anyone else? No. Well, what I'd also like to say is, look, thank you for tuning into these webinars during the year. Mari, thanks for putting this in the diary. It's really great to be able to continue to work with the residential transition students, and I'll hopefully see you all before the end of the academic year. These recordings do go on, and again, that's something that John always helps him with. He's very good at that. In fact, are we doing a podcast, and am I going to have a sting or something next year? He's got all these things. Roman, you might have to help us. But what I would say is a lot of the stuff, I guess, does get rinsed and repeated, because we do have new clients coming through all the time that haven't heard it. If there's anything that you specifically are interested in getting covered last year, so obviously this is work ready. but it's a very broad kind of it's a very good broad kind of reference, so we do go into other aspects as well. So any thoughts that you do have, always really happy for anybody to give me suggestions of topics that you would like covered in 2026. And I think, yeah, I think our first one will either be February or March next year, but you keep an eye out in the newsletter. If there's anything you want to refer back to from today, the recording will be up. And John, of course, will also be sending out a reminder. He does those as well for me. I think I owe him a coffee after this.
Can I ask just one question or one comment, Sarah?
Yes.
Is there any chance that you would think of just changing the timing a little bit? Because 10:30 is our morning tea break, and because we split up into different programs, it would be really, really cool if it either started at 9 through to sometime before 10:30, or 11 through to sometime before 12:30. And then we'd actually be able to get more people in. It's just that we have to split up so we have different, and then people catch up with the webinar.
Okay, no, that's fine. So if we were to say do 9:30 to 10:30, would that work?
That would work, but that would be fabulous.
Okay, look, that's thank you, Murray, for that feedback. That's a really easy change for us. Well, probably for John, actually, because he'll do my booking for next year. But no, that's really easy. I kind of prefer to do it first thing in the morning so it doesn't impact the rest of people's days and they can get on with things. So, yeah, that's an easy change. We'll do that for next year.
No, oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, look, wherever anybody, wherever you are in the Mutu, stay dry, stay warm, have a safe Christmas. Do reach out to me via email or phone for anything. Good luck with the whatever is ahead for the next few months. And again, be kind to yourself. And 2026 is hopefully going to be a better year, I think, hopefully, for everybody, the economy, and for our journey. So take care, everybody, and we'll see you in 2026.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Sarah.
Bye.
Bye.